today's shiur, I think, will be something relevant to everyone. I think everyone will be able to follow it clearly, and it certainly will relate to things that happen in all of our lives. The title is Yosef HaTzadik and the Power to Forgive. Rav Yisrael Salanter once made the following comment. I've said it before in shul. He once said that it is worth it for a speaker or a rabbi to give a lecture if that lecture even has an impact upon one person. And even if the one person is the one who's giving the lecture. So, this particular lecture has a lot of significance to me. I'm sure it does to you as well, but just it's worth it to give it just so I say things over that will enter my mind and heart and hopefully have the appropriate impact that it should have. As you know, Chazal tell us that Yosef HaTzadik, that Yosef is the person we call the righteous. Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik. Why is he called Yosef HaTzadik? Now, we saw a few weeks ago in this year the fact that the Abravanel, being an exception to everyone else, the Abravanel actually says, even from the beginning, he said Yosef was okay. Yosef was fine with telling his dreams to his brothers because he wanted to be intimate with them, even though they wouldn't talk to him. And the colored code was something that wasn't his fault. Yaakov gave to him to show, you know, his greatness. And the fact that he was a Na'ar, remember, we said the Abravanel pointed out, meant that he was a servant to all the other brothers, not that he was doing like teenage things or something, or just only interested in himself. But without that point of view, everyone else seems to say that Yosef did things that were inappropriate from time to time. He spoke Lashon Hara, he spoke gossip about his brothers to his father, and so on. But what is it that made, therefore, Yosef a tzaddik? What was it that made him such a tzaddik? What was it that he did that he was called Yosef a tzaddik? So some point to the fact that, if you recall, when he was brought down into Egypt and he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, that he resisted that temptation. We know today, you can even see in American society, how often people fall to that temptation and ruin their lives. And Yosef was tempted, and yet he resisted. And so maybe that's why he's a tzaddik. Anyone who resists that type of temptation is a tzaddik. He conquered his yetzer hara, his evil inclination. But I think it's more than that. I think it's because Yosef had the ability to forgive those who had wronged him. And that takes place in this week's parsha. And I should point out that the Rambam says in Hilchot Tshuva, in his laws of forgiveness, this is in the second parak, first Halacha Yud, and then we'll go to Halacha Tet. Now, the Rambam in this entire chapter points out the laws of forgiveness and repentance. And often we emphasize in our discussions of this particular mitzvah of repentance, we emphasize the notion of having courage to ask forgiveness from someone. Often in drushes and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you know, ask someone for forgiveness. We know you can't get forgiveness from someone else by just going to God. You have to go to that person specifically. So we emphasize, you know, I often say this, don't be afraid. Don't get caught up in the details. Just confront the person. Say you're sorry. Do it. It has to be done. Okay. But often we may ignore the notion of forgiving the other person. And there's also spiritual greatness, I would say, in forgiving the other person, as Yosef, in fact, does in this parsha. The Rambam, in fact, points out in Halacha Yud, in the second parak, he says, Asur l'adam l'yodach zari, a person is not allowed to be cruel, v'lo yitpayes, and not to make up with someone if a person asks to be forgiven. Rather, a person has to be pleasant, should be someone who is not easily made to go into a rage. So a person has to be a pleasant person. If someone says, look, please forgive me, and they're sincere, and I'm sorry I did this, you're supposed to forgive that person. When a person asks you for forgiveness, says the Rambam, you have to forgive him with a complete heart, with a soul that is willing to do so. Not just, you know, okay, fine, all right. Okay, get out of here now. No. You have to fully forgive the person. Even if a person caused you great suffering and sinned against you greatly, lo yakum v'lo yitor, you should not want vengeance and you should not hold a grudge. V'zehu darkam shel zera Yisrael. This is the way of the seed of Israel. V'libam hanachon, and their hearts are correct in this. Aval ha'ovdei kochavim, but idolaters, arilei lev, einan kein. Idolaters are not this way. They're cruel. And it says, V'yavartan shamra netzach. Idolaters, if you do something to them, they will hold it against you forever. They will never let it go, never forget about it. There was a group of people called the Gibonim in the time of the Talmud. Because they were not willing to forgive, and they were not ready to allow a person to achieve forgiveness. So the Chachamim said that we consider them to be non-Jews. There was a question about their status of Jews. And then when they saw how cruel they were, and they weren't willing to be forgiving, they said, you know what, then they're probably not Jewish. Because Jews are forgiving people. There's a famous book, by the way, called The Sunflower, written by Simon Wiesenthal. Simon Wiesenthal wrote this book. It's a true story because after the Holocaust, a person asked him, who was a Nazi, who had killed hundreds of people, for forgiveness. Right before he died, this Nazi asked for forgiveness. Wiesenthal then asked theologians across the world, Jewish and non-Jewish, should he have forgiven this Nazi? What happened was he didn't say anything. His response was he didn't forgive, but he did not say no, he didn't say anything. So he asked the question, should he have forgiven him or not? So most of the non-Jewish theologians, Christian theologians, all said, yes, you know, forgiveness in their religion is number one, you have to forgive, absolutely, you should forgive him, and so on. One writer who was asked by Wiesenthal, Abraham Joshua Heschel, the famous philosopher, he gave a story where Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was once on a train, and on the train people saw him, and Rav Chaim dressed kind of normally, not like a great rabbi you might think, and so people didn't realize who he was. So this group of people was playing cards, and they were mocking him. They wanted him to play, he didn't want to play, so they kicked him outside the car into like freezing weather. He had to stay outside the whole ride. And then finally, when he made it to Brisk, so all these people were there to greet him, and they realized, oh, what do we do? Who was that? That was Chaim Soloveitchik? We didn't know that. So they went to apologize to him, and they said, look, we're sorry. We didn't know that it was you. We just thought it was some guy off the street. We didn't know it was Chaim Soloveitchik that we were doing this to. And Rav Chaim did not forgive him, and these people did not forgive them. And to such a degree, they finally came, and they asked his son, the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, to please ask for us to forgive. And so he asked, he said, Father, I don't understand. You know that the Rambam says if someone asks you for forgiveness, you have to forgive him, like we just read. Otherwise you're cruel, you have to forgive. So Rav Chaim said, no. Because they said to me, they said, we're sorry, Rav Chaim, we thought that it was just the guy off the street. We didn't know it was you. So if you didn't know it was me, so then you don't owe me anything. Go on the street and ask for everyone in the streets for forgiveness, because that's who you've sinned against. Which kind of shows, by the way, Heschel pointed out, that sometimes you can't achieve forgiveness. And so in this case, Heschel said as well, that you have no right to forgive that Nazi who killed these 100 Jews. Just because you're a Jew, he didn't do it to you. Maybe, if you could even say this, maybe if it was the person's daughter who died, he was asking the mother or something else, maybe. But just, you can't forgive Nazis because they killed millions of Jews. Hey, you have no right to forgive. You're not the one he sinned against directly. As we know, Jewish law says, the one you sinned against has to be the one that gives the forgiveness. And the one you sinned against is dead. So while it's appreciated that now you are asking, I guess that's something, but it doesn't mean that you can grant forgiveness. So Heschel agreed with Wiesenthal for not granting him forgiveness. Let me just add one more thing here. It's interesting that the Rambam says, Lo ratzach chaveiro limcholo, if your friend does not want to forgive you, mevilo shura shoshlosha b'nei adam, you bring, he says, three individuals, like in a line. Okay, and you take it, and you take them to your friend, and you ask again for forgiveness. If he doesn't do it, you do it for a third time, or for a second time, a third time. If he then still says, I don't forgive you, and you're sincere, and so on, so then the sin is upon him, it says. Hu achote, the Rambam says, and he's the sinner. Again, you have to forgive if the person's sincere, and we're not talking about the Nazi case, and we're talking about he did something to you. We're not talking about your son, your parents, and we're talking about he did something to you, and he's really sincere, and he really says, I'm sorry, and look, I made a mistake, what do you want from me, and I mean it, you have to forgive the person. Okay, you have to forgive the person, and if not, you are the sinner. By the way, he says, Vimaya Rabbo, and if this was your rabbi, Holech Uba Afilu Elef Pa'amim Achim Cholo, then you have to go even 1,000 times until he forgives you. Now, it's considered to be such a terrible wrong if you have disgraced your rabbi or sinned against him, even 1,000 times, the Rambam says, and there the rabbi has a right, he says, because he says you don't have to forgive or he's the sinner. He says he can say no. Now, he doesn't say that for your father, for your mother. So this is what the Rambam says. The Rambam says you're required generally, though, to forgive a person, to grant forgiveness. And Yosef, as we go back through the Parsha, did this in the most, it would seem, incredible way possible. Okay, because in this week's parsha, as you know, Yosef finally reveals himself to his brothers, and when he does so with the following language. First, he says, "Yomer Yosef alachav ani Yosef." Yosef said to his brothers, "I am Joseph." Ha'od avichai, does my brother still live? Lo yachlu echav la'anototo kinivalu mipanav. They were not able to answer him. They were in shock, first of all, that he was even alive. And secondly, that he's now the second in command to Paro, the most mighty man in the world. And you're kidding me, what? And now, and think he could kill us now, because, oh no, we tried to kill him, we sold him. I mean, he's going to kill us. He has us where he wants us, right? And yet, no. What does Yosef say? He does not do that. He tells them to come forward. He wants to talk to them. And then it says, "V'ata lo atem shalachtem oti, heina." He says, "Don't be afraid. You're not the ones who sent me here. Ki Elohim, God is the one who set up this whole situation. V'yasimeni la'av leParo. He made me as an authority figure in service to Paro. U'la'adon lechol beito, and as a master of all of his house. U'moshe b'chol eretz Yitzrayim, and he made me a governor over all of Egypt." So it's an amazing statement here what he's making. Listen to what Rav Volba says in his book on Bereishit. This is a new work. Rav Volba, the great Baal Musar, says, "Avodah gedolahi, mashi Yosef asa." It's a great avoda, a great piece of work required for what Yosef did. We usually think of avoda as like the karbanos, that's called the avoda, or tefillah, prayer, is called the avoda, or learning Torah, like ritual things, that's an avoda. That really takes a lot of work. He says, this is a great avoda. This is a great avoda, what Yosef did. What's a great avoda? He just said, okay, I forgive you. What's a great avoda? How long did it take? He says, no, be'emet hulo hikpid alehem al shisana oto. He said, he did not hold it against them that, number one, they hated him, umachru oto, and they sold him, and that they tried to kill them, throw him in the pit. Ve'od hu da'ag l'daber alibam she'ein lo sina alehem. And he wanted to tell them this and make it clear to them. Yosef diber alehem b'li shum mibirut. He didn't speak to them with any bitterness. He didn't say like, you know, remember you did that to me, and now you're so terrible, I can't believe you did that. I forgive you. He didn't say that. He didn't bring it up. He didn't even bring up what you did to me. He didn't bring it up. In fact, by saying you didn't, he said you didn't do anything. Not only did he say, look what you did, but I forgive you. Like to make him feel like, oh yeah, look at me, I'm a terrible person. He didn't even bring it up. He said, without any bitterness whatsoever, you didn't do anything. God planned it all along anyway. You were just like a piece of the puzzle. God just wanted you to be part of it. You didn't do anything. You just went through it where he wanted me to end up. If you wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't have come down to Egypt. I wouldn't be second in command now. It all happened. You know, God does everything for a purpose. He says, you didn't do anything wrong. I have no hatred for you, no jealousy against you. I don't want envy or vengeance, anything like that. No, you did nothing wrong. An incredible thing that he was capable of doing that. He has nothing that he's holding against him. And he says, Rav Volba says, what kind of midos is this? Yes, if it ever. How could you call him anything but a tzaddik for a person to be willing to do that? He has no hate toward them whatsoever. The fact that he could do that, your brothers tried to kill you. What a chutzpah. And because that you separate from my father for who knows how many years. And I'm just going to forgive you. And yes, he just forgives him and he doesn't even bring it up.
That's
amazing story. There was a young man who was like the greatest Torah scholar in his class, you know, in his group, if you will. And he was in Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer's yeshiva in Slutsk, Russia. And this individual, someone had offered to set up his daughter with this budding Torah scholar, you know, this young man. And they became engaged, and everything was fine. And then suddenly there was a young man in yeshiva, apparently, who was jealous of this other person. He got the girl, and he's smarter than him. So he started spreading all these rumors about him, these terrible rumors, whatever he said, terrible rumors, all not true, sinister, terrible things. And this family, which was from a respected family, so, you know, they heard all these things. What were they supposed to think? So they said, listen, we just can't take a chance. I mean, our daughter, we're going to be married to this guy, and there's word out that he did this and he did that. So they broke off the engagement. This guy, as a result, then World War I came. He was like drafted into the army. And then, you know, he couldn't study for many years. And he came out, he went to the Slobodka Yeshiva thereafter. And he became an old bacher, like an old maid, we might say, where he was getting very old. He never got married. He became an old, you know, an old maid, so to speak, in a male form. One day, the altar of Slobodka, who was the head of the yeshiva, a famous, famous individual, received a letter from this person who had ruined this guy's life. And he wrote a letter. I said, I heard that this individual now, this so-and-so person is learning in your yeshiva. I wronged him, he told him, many years ago. I was jealous, and I spread all this stuff about him. I said all this lashon hara about him. I said he was terrible. I'm embarrassed to speak to him myself. How could I ever speak to him? I ruined his life. He was supposed to get married. And so I'm going to ask you, the altar of Slobodka, if you will please speak to him for me. And asked for forgiveness. Now this is not great, because usually something like this you can't do through a shaliach. You can't do through like an agent. Come on, you got to have enough guts. You got to face the guy. That's part of your repentance, yeah. Is that you have to ask the guy yourself. You have to embarrass yourself. You have to shame yourself. You did a terrible thing. But what can I tell you? The altar Slobodka recognized this guy was not going to come, and he wanted him to know. So he went to this individual and he said, listen, I got this letter. He told him the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to know, and he wants you to forgive him. And this individual said, I forgive him fully. And the Yossi Slobodka said, why? I mean, I don't understand myself. Why would you forgive him? And he says, because look, I realized over the years that the shidduch may not have worked anyway. And he said, I'm convinced that therefore if the shidduch wasn't broken by him, it might have been broken another way. So therefore God wanted the shidduch to be broken up. So again, like Yosef was saying, so what you did was just really wasn't you doing it, it was just God doing it. Okay. And therefore I totally forgive him. The altar Slobodka looked at this young man now, and he kisses them on the forehead, and he says, my student, my beloved student, you are a tzaddik. Please bless me. So the altar Slobodka, this great Rav, puts down his head, you know, for a blessing. And the student goes, Rebbe, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Get up. I can't give you a bracha. Are you kidding me? What kind of joke is that? What are you playing around for? He says, I'm not playing around. He says, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Kol Amavir Amidotav Mavir Lo Akol Pishav. Whoever overlooks something that has been done against him and is willing to say, all right, so I forgive him. He asks for forgiveness, of course. All right, I forgive him. And he means it. I forgive him fully. That person, the Gemara says, all his sins are forgiven. The person who can do that. So the author Slobodka said, so all your sins have just been forgiven. So you are a tzaddik. You have no sins. A person who has no sins is a tzaddik. We go to a tzaddik to get a bracha. I want you to give me a bracha. Person deserves to be called a tzaddik. Anyone who can forgive someone like that, like it never even happened, he said, doesn't hold any grudge against him, that person should be called a tzaddik. Chaim Shmulevitz is a famous story, the head of the Mir Yeshiva, where I believe it was the 1967 war, although I'm not positive because I can't find the source right now, but I remember the story, where they were in a bomb shelter, he and others, and there were bombs, you know, coming everywhere, and everyone thought that this was the end. Everyone's saying Tehillim, they're saying Psalms, other people are saying Shema, you know, this is it, it's all over, say your Shema for the last time. And one lady yells out, she goes, Ribono Shalom, if you'll please save us, I forgive my husband who abused me, who treated me terribly for years, okay, my terrible husband, my mean husband, I forgive him. I absolutely, with a full heart, forgive my husband, save us. So they were saved. So he asked Rav Chaim Shmulevitch, how is this possible? It looked like we were all going to die. Who saved us? I mean, God, obviously, but who? Through the merit of whom? And he said, it wasn't the Shema and it wasn't the Tehillim. It was that woman who said, I forgive my husband for what he did. That's what saved us. Because to do something like that is a huge amount of spiritual power within a person. It's not as easy as it sounds, all right? And let me just share with you again some other stories to show you how difficult it is and try to develop some advice about how to do this. Okay, first of all, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, again, the head of the Musar movement, who we quoted when I opened this year. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was once on a train, He was on a train in a smoking car. Now, of course, today smoking was terrible for you then. This is the late 1800s. Smoking was done by everyone, even until the 1960s. Even today, many people smoke, right? So, but it was he was smoking in a smoking car. A young guy comes in and he sees Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He doesn't know who he is. He sees him smoking. He says, "Hey, can you put out the cigarette? I don't like smoke." So everyone else was like, "What a chutzpah! So go to the non-smoking car. This is a smoking car. You're not doing anything wrong." So he sells him off and said, "Oh, really? You don't like smoking?" No. He goes, "Okay, fine." So he puts out the cigarette. All right. Then he sits down. The window's open. So this guy says, "Rabbi Yisrael Salanter," he says, "Hey, you know, it's cold in here. Can you put up the window?" So he sells him off and says, "You know, I didn't put it down. But if you want me to put it up, I'll be glad to put it up." So he puts it up. Okay. And then what happens thereafter is, so everyone is watching this, like, what a chutzpah from this individual to do this. All right. Then what happens? Everyone's watching this. He puts up the window, no problem. When they get to the train station, again, hundreds of people come to see Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the famous rabbi. This guy realizes, "Oh my God, what did I do?" Okay. He goes and he asks him for forgiveness. He goes to his home and he's crying. And he says, "I'm so sorry. I didn't, please forgive me, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He didn't get into, I didn't know it was you," like a Rav Chaim Soloveitchik term. Okay, he said, "Look, I'm, please forgive me." So Yisrael Salanter says, "I absolutely forgive you with a full heart. I forgive you." Then he asks him, "What are you doing on the train anyway? What were you doing?" He says, "I was going to study Hilcha Shechita. I'm going to study the laws of Shechita, of slaughtering. I want to get Kabbalah." Kabbalah means, it's passed down from one person to another, the authority to be able to shecht, like Shmicha, kind of. In Shechita and Shechni, you get Kabbalah. So yeah, I want to get Kabbalah from someone I want to study. So Rav Yisrael Salanter said, "Oh, you know what? Here, I'm with my mechutin, my relative, and you know, he's an expert in these laws, and I know some of the laws a little bit. Maybe we'll help you study. We'll help you get Shechita, you know, get Kabbalah." So the guy didn't know that much, apparently. But Gil Salanter spent many weeks along with his Mechutin, and they helped him study for these laws until eventually he passed the test and he got Kabbalah and he became a Shochet. So this guy couldn't help but ask. He said, "But let me ask you, Yisrael, why did you help me so much? Why did you spend so much time with me after what I did for you in the train? Okay, I said I was sorry. You forgave me. But then you did more than that. You did chesed for me. You helped me so much. Why? I know you're an important person. You have things to do." But Yisrael Salanter said, "You know why? Because when I said I forgave you with a full heart, somehow, even though I said it, I didn't feel it. I didn't feel like I really forgave you. So I figured, how am I going to really feel, you know, better about this, to really say it fully? I'm required to be mochli. The Rambam says, b'lev av shalem, with a full heart." So he said, "All I can think of," he says, "you know, I'll get to know you a little better. I'll do some nice things for you. I'll see you're really a nice guy. And then I think that I will be able to say that I really forgive you, feeling it fully. So that's why I did it." So you have some advice here from Yisrael Salanter, which is an amazing thing, that I believe is beyond, as we have the celebration of the birth of another religion coming this week, and their Savior, who said famously, "Turn the other cheek." They say eye for an eye. I say turn the other cheek. Well, you know what? Here's what Judaism says beyond turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek just means, go ahead, you want to hit me again? This is, do a chesed for the person. Not just hit me again, you sinned for me, now hit me again. It's, I'm going to do something nice for you. Not just I'm going to let you hit me. I'm going to actually put out for you. I'm going to do something nice for you. So if you want to really feel good about someone else, even someone who's wronged you, do something nice for them. It sounds crazy. Well, I should do something nice for him. Okay, I'm going to do something nice for him. You should do something nice for him. Now, let me just go on before I'm going to comment on this in a moment a little more. But let me say I have a problem with this because it's interesting. I have done sometimes good things for people, chasadim for people, wonderful things for people. I'm sure you have too, all of you. But I've done wonderful things for people, and then they wrong you. Not like this case where out of nowhere they wronged you. Okay, then they say they're sorry. Okay, do a chesed for them. What happens when you did a chesed for them? You did great things for them, really nice things for them, and then they wrong you. And now I'm supposed to do more chesed for them. So I should do more chesed for them? The answer is yes. You should do more chesed for them. So basically, even though you have individuals, as Yosef said in last week's parsha of Miketz at the end, when Binyamin was planted in his bag, you know, to put a piece of the silver from the Egyptian palace, but when he saw that he stole it, Yosef said, his language was, he says, "Lama shilamtem ra'a tachat tova? Why did you pay me back with evil after I did good for you? I treated you so nice and you paid me back with evil." Okay? So even though, you know, that's kind of how I feel sometimes with people when I've done things for them, and then they pay me back by doing something bad to me. I just can't believe it sometimes. So I can understand, how is it possible that anyone even does that? So the Chatham Sofer, I was told, once said the following. The Chatham Sofer was once giving a lecture just like this. Imagine this. Someone walks in the room and starts yelling at him, starts screaming at him, and to the embarrassment of him in front of all his students. So he leaves, and the Chatham Sofer says this, "You know, I don't know why that guy yelled at me like he did. I never did anything good for him." So the student said, "What are you talking about? You mean you never did anything bad to him? Isn't that what you meant? And that's why you don't understand why he's yelling at you. You never did anything bad to him." "No, that's not what I meant. I meant I never did anything good to him." And he said, "What does that mean, Rebbe? What do you mean?" He said, "Because sometimes if you do something good for a person, psychologically it feels like, you know, they owe you, you know, I owe you. So this way, they get it off their chest, you know, I don't owe you anything, okay, and I think you did something wrong, I'm going to tell you about it, I don't owe anything to you." So it's interesting, I mean, I never thought of it, it's an interesting insight. But so, the only answer I would say is still to do chesed for that individual, because to get angry, what's it going to do? He did this to me, you're going to do it back to him. He did something to you, you're going to get him back. What's it going to do? It's not going to accomplish anything. Now if you'll say to yourself, "But he doesn't deserve me to do a chesed, I've done chesed for him before, he doesn't deserve it." Don't do it for him, do it for you. You're not doing it for him. You're doing it for you, so that you can become a Baal Chesed, so that you can get it off your chest. You have something that this guy, "Why did he do this to me? I've been so nice to him." So are you going to live like that the rest of your life? Do another chesed for him. He'll fill him with kindness. You ever heard that phrase? You're eventually going to feel, "Why did I keep doing this guy? Why is he doing such nice things for me? I mean, why does he keep doing good things for me? I've tried to be so mean to him. He keeps doing good things for me." You won't be able to stand it anymore. I mean, to do nice things, you have to do it. I mean, listen, a guy says he's sorry to you. You forgive him. He really did something terrible to you, by the way. Really something terrible to you. I have people like this. I'm sure you all do. You forgive him. He was sincere. You forgive him. 5 years later, 10 years later, he does it again. He comes to you again. He asks for forgiveness. He's sincere. Now, I mean, what do you do this time? I forgave you. You did this terrible thing. You did it again. You had every opportunity to avoid it, and you did it again. You did it. Now, what do you do? So, I can only say, I think if he's sincere, you should forgive him again. Now, why? Because what do you do to the Ribbono Shel Olam? I mean, every time, you know, I do an Aveira, you know, I think Yom Kippur comes, I repent, I'm serious, I'm sincere, I mamish mean it, and I go speak Lashon Hara again. Or I do another Aveira again. And God says, "Wait, what? You said you cried on Yom Kippur, you fasted, you said you were sorry, you said," and then already a few weeks later you do it again. Not 5 years later, 10 years later, a few weeks later, tomorrow. Tomorrow you do it again. So your Baruch Shalom is forgiving, So I feel like, how can I not be forgiving to someone if the Romans are forgiving me? Otherwise, I'd be wiped out in a second. I'd be gone already with all my favors.
Well, that's really how you judge people is how you.
That's it. You got it. Exactly. The way you judge others is the way that God will judge you. Absolutely. Moshe Feinstein, he has an amazing story also brought into Magid along the Magid's journey. An amazing story, which is unbelievable. He criticizes Yosef. We gave the ultimate praise for Yosef, as Revolba did, saying, look, he didn't even bring it up. He said, don't even worry about it. It was God's will. But Moshe Feinstein, there's a story told about him where someone walked into his house and there was a Deen Torah taking place. And there was Moshe Feinstein was judging as an individual rabbi, as they accepted him as their judge, between two individuals who were having a monetary dispute, I guess it was. And so after they were done, Moshe Feinstein ruled. So he said to one individual, okay, now say you're sorry to this person. Right? Okay, I'm sorry. And then he said to the other person, now say you forgive him. Mm-hmm. And the other person said, oh, I don't have to say that. Of course, it was nothing. He didn't do anything. It was nothing. He says, no, say you forgive him. Mm-hmm. He said, but I don't have to. It's okay. It wasn't that big of a thing. He said, no, I want you to say you forgive him. He said, fine, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. Okay? After he left, so this is Rav Zlotowicz, who is in the room. He said to Rav Moshe, why did you make him do that? Why? He said, Rav Moshe Feinstein, because what Yosef did, he disagreed with. He did not say, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. Now, so what? So he didn't say it. Isn't this better? No. Because you know, on Yom Kippur, we have something called the Martyrology in the Musaf service, where we have 10 great scholars who were killed by the Romans. You may remember that the person who did this, he decreed that you have to die, the 10 of you, because the 10 brothers of Yosef sold him into exile, into slavery, right? And you have to die for that sin. So, what do you mean? But didn't Yosef forgive them? What do you mean? But Yosef forgave them, right? So we don't understand what happened. So Moshe says, no. See, Yosef did not forgive them. Yosef says, no, don't worry about it. God did it. But he didn't explicitly forgive them, which left an opening for this person to say, see, you weren't forgiven. You were not forgiven, okay? Just to say, don't worry about it. That's not forgiveness. Now, it so happens, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I think the reason he says this, like, where does he get this from? You have to say, I forgive you. Okay, you know, when it comes to asking for forgiveness, we know you have to confess. That's one of the requirements, right? You have to say, I'm sorry I did it. I won't do it again. And you have to say it. You just can't think it. Can't go on Yom Kippur, just thinking it. You have to verbalize it. So too, when you go to another person, you have to verbalize it. Okay? So therefore, here too, it seems like Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying that even when you forgive people, you should verbalize it. It's part of the confession, act is the guy asking verbally, and you verbally saying, I forgive you. It's a powerful thing. I forgive you, so-and-so. Not just, don't worry about it. And then he's always wondering, did he really forgive me? I forgive you. Those are very significant, powerful words, as we've seen here. And just the final statement, that every night before you go to sleep, if there are those of you who say Kriyat Shema, Alamita, the Shema that you say on the bed, as it's called, this certain service we have. Every night before a Jew goes to sleep, he says the following in the opening paragraph. Now, we've heard of people who say, sometimes you'll hear that a husband and wife, before they went to sleep, they never went to sleep angry, they always apologize. It's supposed to be that way for every person. Not easy. Not easily done. The opening paragraph of the Kriyat Shema on the bed says, Ribono Shel Olam, Hareini Mochel Lechol Mi Shehichi Shehitnit Oti. God, I hereby forgive anyone who has angered me and mistreated me. Anyone who sinned against me. Be it in terms of my bodily harm or my monetary harm. Be it with my honor and my dignity, anything that I have. Be it they did it on purpose. Be it they did it by accident. Be it they did it in speech or they did it in action. Be it in this world or in a previous lifetime. For those who believe in the reincarnation of those, in other worlds. He says, I believe, I want to forgive every person who has done something wrong to me. I hereby forgive him. Let no person, God, be punished because of me. Wow. If everyone said that every night like they meant it, it would be a different world. It would be a different world. You'd realize, okay, he did something wrong to me. You know what? Tomorrow I'm going to have a fresh start toward that person, and I'm going to start anew. And as I said, I am speaking to myself as much as anyone. It is certainly a high level to reach, but hopefully we will all reach it and be able to forgive, as the halacha obligates us to forgive another person with a complete heart.